Ghost Beast!
Ghost Beast.
Ghost Beast!
A horror podcast. I'm Todd.
I'm Becca.
And we're going to watch every horror movie ever made. So hang out with us for a spoiler-free review and content warning, followed by our full thoughts. Because today, we watched Companion from 2025. It's directed by Drew Hancock. This might be his first horror movie. This is one of those movies, came out in theaters, that I feel like they kept it playing for about 3 days and then took it out because we didn't get a chance to see it. I don't know why we didn't see this in theaters, honestly.
I'm not sure either.
Yeah, we saw Wolfman, but not Companion.
I mean, look, I don't know what happened there.
I don't know.
I don't think they were out at the exact same time.
No.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
But yeah.
You know, after we missed it, I was pretty excited to see it because I saw lots of people talking about it. And I can tell you right now, for spoiler free, it's going to be very hard to talk about because it is a movie that has like a pretty significant twist like early in the movie. And the cool thing is like, I think they advertised this movie perfectly.
I think they
Seriously.
Did too. Yeah.
Like it's so hard with something like this where you're trying to preserve some surprise. It's like, how do you make people want to see it if you can't tell them like anything about what it's about? So I guess we can base this kind of off what was in the trailer, which I think they kind of portray it as Jack Quaid's character is some kind of like serial killer or like abuser or something. And it definitely paints like a certain picture, but they give you that scene of Sophie Thatcher holding her hand over the candle. And it's just like, it's very mysterious and it's hard to tell like exactly what it's about from that. And I think that's like, it's perfect because it still sets it up in this interesting way where it's like, well, I want to fucking know what this is about. And I think what it is actually about is like super interesting. Mm-hmm. And it's a fun kind of twist because when I went into it, we talked about this when we were watching it. I kind of already knew where it was going because it got fucking spoiled online for me. And you had no idea, though. I guess you had stayed spoiler free.
Yeah, I hadn't really read anything about it. I didn't really dig into it much because once we saw the trailer, I was like, well, that's enough for me. Yeah. I already know I want to see it. So I just kind of left it at that.
But we got to talk about spoiler culture these days online. It's getting a little fucking ridiculous.
It's very out of hand and it just keeps getting worse.
It's like people want the clout from spoiling something. Yeah. Like there used to be a kind of limit on what you could talk about for a certain amount of time. Like we keep seeing it with TV shows where it's like the day after.
Not like, even the day. It's like the
night.
The night it airs.
But I kept running into, like, you know, there'd be a new episode of White Lotus or recently The Last of Us.
Yeah.
And the next morning when I'm just looking at social media, it's like, oh, okay, just got that episode spoiled. It's like, give me a fucking break. I got to go to bed. I can't stay up for these stupid shows at 9 p.m. on a Sunday.
But it shouldn't honestly even matter. And I know we've talked about this, but there really was this, like, unspoken rule of not spoiling something, I would say, like, for a couple months, like, at least in MySpace days.
We used to be way cooler. Like, I don't know what happened.
There used to be respect, you know?
You sound real old.
I don't care. I mean, like, how shitty is it for you to go online and spoil the episode or the movie just because you're like, well, I saw it, so here's what happens.
I know.
And it's like,
it's hard
because what are
it's
you
like,
doing?
I know people like they really want to talk about it the next day, but it's like, just hide it a little bit. Don't put it right there up front because it's like I just scroll into it without even thinking about it.
Yeah. And especially, I mean, this is also something that's a big problem, I think, in the Yellow Jackets fandom right now.
Oh, boy.
Speaking
we
of,
don't need
so,
to get started
look,
with all that
Sophie
shit.
Thatcher's in this movie, so it's relevant.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's bad. It's like, and people know, like, don't scroll through TikTok before you see the next episode because it's going to get spoiled because people literally will take a clip from the spoiler, the whole clip of the spoiler, and just, it'll just be on your feed.
Yeah,
and
how many views do they get? Probably, like, millions.
Millions of views,
That's why they do it. But that's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't know, man. I know people are excited to talk about it, but like, we gotta fucking chill. Okay. But with Companion, yeah, I had the kind of twist spoiled. And I'll start the next section by just summarizing what that is. Cause it's not like the whole movie is about that. You know, it's not like it's some big reveal at the end of the movie, to be fair. But it's still, it's fun to just not know. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you could speak on that because you didn't know.
I got lucky. I didn't get it spoiled, but
there are a lot of like interesting clues and like hints at where it's going.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is like, I think that has to be super fun if you don't know what it's leading up to. But even honestly, knowing what it is, like I was picking up on these clues in a different way, you know, it was kind of reinforcing it. I don't know. It's very well done.
Yeah. Once we get into spoilers, I'll kind of talk about where clues started to tip off for me. But I don't even mind that, you know, maybe I could start to figure out what was happening because I like putting the pieces together. I like doing that when I'm watching a movie. So I don't mind that.
This is a fun one for that. It reminds me of Strange Darling last year. That was another one where it's like, it's not like super original and groundbreaking, you know, what it's doing, but the way that they tell the story where you're kind of guessing the whole way, it's just fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. And so it's good to go into this one, like knowing as little as possible.
Yeah.
But I think overall though, I liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because we saw this the same weekend as Sinners.
Yeah.
So it's like, geez, well, we got two of our top 10 already taken care of right there.
Yeah, that was a good weekend for us.
Good weekend for horror fans.
Yes.
I mean, I guess the only other thing to talk about is content warning. I mean, this isn't giving anything away because this is what the trailer's kind of hinting at, but it does feature like an abusive relationship and that stuff. It's like, it's such an interesting context. It's almost like a Black Mirror episode, but that element, it comes through like very, in a very authentic way, I think.
Yeah. There also is sexual assault displayed, but you don't see anything happen. Nothing happens on screen.
Yeah. That's important too. Cause, that when it was started going that direction, that's when I was like, shit, I didn't look this up. And I was trying to like really quickly look and it's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, it's not fine, but it's not too traumatizing, at least for me.
Yeah. So, I mean, other than that, it's not so much the content, like as far as like, it's not super gory or anything like that. It's more like the ideas, and there is this like central theme running through it that is definitely related to abusive relationships and gender dynamics, and that stuff is pretty heavy and like honestly really well executed,
yeah,
in my opinion. But that's kind of what you can expect to be in for, I guess.
Yeah.
Brown, did you have anything else?
Nope.
Okay, then let's go to spoilers. So, I mean, the thing that the movie's about, you just say now, it's basically, it's like a modern version of The Stepford Wives, really, which in itself, you know, not completely original. We've seen a lot of stuff, I feel like recently especially, that feels inspired by that. Like Get Out was the big one, but there's been a lot.
That other movie too, I can't remember the name of the movie.
What?
That was like Stepford Wives.
With robots? That's
crazy. No, not robots. But it's touched on the same subjects.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name. Don't Worry, Darling.
Don't Worry, Darling.
Could not get it out of my head.
Yeah. That has very similar gender dynamics, honestly.
Is that a spoiler?
We're in spoilers.
But I mean, Don't Worry, Darling. No.
No. No. That's fine.
Yeah.
Shh. I don't know why I tried to put my finger up. But yeah, it's literally, I think how it was spoiled for me was somebody said something about her being like an adult,
Megan.
For some reason, I was like, her name isn't Megan.
That's remember because you told me.
She's like an adult Megan. And as soon as the movie starts, it's just like, okay, I see what that means. Like, I guess she's a fucking robot.
Yeah, that kind of sucks.
It does, but it was still fun because then it's a game of like, okay, how are they hinting at this? And that was like, what was really the thing that gave it away for you?
Well, I really started to question her memory because when it opens up with them doing like a meet cute.
Yeah.
And there was something inside of me that was like, everything is just too perfect. Like the way they set everything up, which is on purpose. And like it's manufactured.
The way she dreams about it. Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's a little excessive.
Yeah. So that's really where things were like, I was questioning, like, this seems like way too perfect. Yeah. Something's going on here.
It's interesting that that's the thing. I think what like solidified it for me, it was a conversation between her and Kat, mm-hmm. where she's saying like, oh, I feel like with you around, I'm like irrelevant or something like that.
Yeah.
Like feeling like she's being replaced, you know?
Yeah.
And the way that she's like, she seems to have a problem with her, mm-hmm. you know, and doesn't like her.
Yeah, she doesn't like her.
Even that's so interesting because they're able to set it up as like, she's the new girlfriend and oh, one of his friends doesn't like you for no reason, which is like a normal thing.
Yeah.
But obviously she kind of has a reason to feel that way. It's more complicated than that. Yeah.
But she, you know, obviously doesn't realize that she's a robot. So she's like, why is this girl not like me?
Yeah. Because that's the thing is like the movie kind of drops you right into it because you see that meeting between the two of them. And then it's them going out into some isolated cabin mm-hmm. to meet up with their friends and spend their weekend there. And it's funny because I did read there were like some details that I just completely missed. Like people pointed out that she takes the luggage in by herself and he like doesn't offer to help her.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, that's also just like that is just how some men treat women. So. Yeah,
that's the thing. When I talk about like gender dynamics, there's a lot of little stuff like that that feels like very authentic.
Yeah. I also another thing that really kind of solidified her being a robot for me was when he was like, what's the weather? And she like gives an accurate like description of what the weather will be. Yeah. And it's like, obviously, it's like, okay, you could think she's just really smart or she just looked at the weather. Maybe she knew.
Yeah, she got Siri in there.
Yeah. He was like, that never gets old. And it's like, okay. But it also could be just so you know, off as gender dynamics.
Anytime I ask you what the weather's going to be, I expect a detailed analysis. Instantly, all right?
Okay.
Yeah, that's the thing is like the setup for the movie is like really horrifying. It's like it's so funny the way it balances these tones because what I'm leading up to is like the movie can be really funny.
Yeah.
And I think like the when the big turn happens, it's funny in this like very dark way, which like I said, it's kind of like Black Mirror, you know, mm-hmm. which is cliche, but it really does kind of summarize this style of sci-fi. But it's after, you know, when she defends herself against that guy, Sergey? And winds up stabbing him, which also kind of calls things into question because it's like, it doesn't seem like these companions should be allowed to hurt people. Yeah. And obviously they explain that, but that was like, that kind of tripped me up a little bit.
That tripped me up too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like very horrifying, but when they finally, when he just tells her to go to sleep and she just shuts down, it's like, that's such a cool way to tell the audience exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
Because we now live in a time when like, that makes sense. We have devices that we talk to like that.
Yeah, we do.
But it's the way like when he starts explaining it to her and suddenly you see like this company bringing a giant case into his apartment where mm-hmm. she pops out. It's like, it really blows the lid off of this. And I guess it also works because it's hard to tell what year this takes place in.
Yeah. I did really like how they showed the actual beginning of their relationship. Like it being so bleak and like.
Yeah, how different it is.
Yeah. And it also, it explains his behavior, but it also like doesn't. Like it, it's also just like kind
of. He's that kind of guy.
How some men treat women. So.
That's the thing that also it does really well is it's like it's a cheap shot to say it, but he is kind of like the ultimate incel guy who wishes he could just order a woman off the internet and just kind of treats her like an object throughout the whole movie. Yeah, it's like it's a very good way of depicting that.
Yeah.
And even just the way that like you really get a sense how fucking crazy this guy is when they catch Iris and it's supposed to just be like, yeah, he fucking jailbroke her to commit this murder. It's like a big story involving trying to steal money. And it's as easy as, like, you just reset her and then it's over. But he can't help himself from sitting down with her and, like, explaining that she's not real.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's not it's a like, nice person.
Well, exactly, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like, it's this weird control thing that just says so much about the type of dude this is, to the point where even his friends are like, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah. Like, just shut her down. Like, why are you talking to her? But that, yeah, that is totally just the type of guy this is.
Yeah.
And it feels like that all the time, that anytime that she starts to get the upper hand or something, it's like, for him, he cannot accept being beaten by a woman. So he has to, like, defeat her one way or the other before he can, like, move forward. It's like, that's the thing that holds him back, is that weird inferiority, you know?
I really love the way that a queer relationship was presented in this horror.
We do have to shout out Eli and Patrick.
Yeah.
They're great characters.
Yeah, they were very funny, and I really loved the, like, banter that they both had. I know that it's portraying a queer person having a robot that is also
It's another kind of abusive relationship.
Yeah, but they're also, even though it's toxic and it's a robot, I really did like that their relationship was a little bit different than Iris and
Josh.
So their relationship is a little different than Iris and Josh. Like, they, Josh is very, very one-sided. And it seemed like their relationship, I mean, even though it's a robot programmed to love Eli, they were in love. And even through the end of the movie, he, like, still regains that, like, conscious, I guess, part of himself to admit that he's in love.
That's the interesting thing. It really does feel like it's just a very different relationship dynamic that is still also, like, very complicated because he reveals, I guess they've been together much longer because he reveals that, or Patrick reveals that he had figured it out a while ago and he knows he's a robot.
Yeah, but he, like, didn't care.
But he chooses to love him anyways, even though there is that one, like, really heartbreaking scene where he's asked about his love for him, and he describes it as being, like, pain.
Yeah.
And it's like, God, but it's such a good way to summarize, like, what those kind of abusive relationships feel like.
Yeah, and I think them, I think they described it as, like, bright, red hot.
Yeah, it's like anger. Like,
yeah. And the fact that they both understood that terminology toward each other to recognize, yeah, that is what it feels like. And it's like, I don't know. I thought it was really powerful, especially given the scene with Iris burning her hand on the candle.
The that part for from the me, trailer.
Yeah. Even though I saw that part in the trailer, when it happened in the movie,
it has different context.
Completely different context. Yeah. And it was, like, very cathartic because it was like, I get that. I've been there before. And it's like, I thought that metaphor came across very strong and very powerful.
Well, it's like, it's cool as shit when she just peels the skin off, and it feels like getting a tattoo after leaving, you know, that stage of your life. And she's just cruising down the fucking highway with her gnarly ass robot hand.
Yeah, she's like driving a Mustang with her cool robot hand
with $12 million, just like every woman goes through at some point in their life.
I wish I got
you're but, close.
But I mean, like, portraying a victim of abuse as, like, a hero was like very cathartic for me. It was really cool to see that. It's not a story that's really told often with a hero. I feel like lately that's really been coming out, especially in horror.
Yeah.
I just love to see it in another movie.
It's another great cathartic horror ending, which we are also seeing a lot of. I did especially like, though, when Iris kind of gets control and breaks up with Josh, and it's like, man, how much of a fucking loser do you have to be if your robot girlfriend breaks up with you? Like, damn.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely just, it's that kind of movie that it's like, it's hard to describe it as fun, even though it is. It's a fun movie that tackles, like, really heavy subject matter in this really cool sci-fi horror way. And I think the message and the relationship dynamics and everything, like, they're just very well executed. Yeah. Like, that's the thing that really carries this whole movie, is like, there's just subtext to everything, and it all feels like crystal clear, you know. Mm-hmm. Just really appreciate that when a dumb dumb like me is still able to pick up on everything you're putting down. You know,
are very smart.
Okay. But yeah, and it's just, it's kind of a roller coaster ride. It's it's just a lot going on from front to back. It's funny because, yeah, it looked like he didn't have a, the director didn't have a huge history. I didn't really recognize too much of what he's worked on, but like, if he's going to keep making horror movies like this,
yeah,
I'm here for it.
Me too. I really enjoyed it. I thought the title card was really cool. I really did. Yeah. I enjoy a good, like, well-directed title card.
It's a good title card.
Yeah.
Good title.
Good title, Companion. Too. I think that's also a very, it's good, like, title for the movie.
It's crazy because, yeah, it tells you exactly what the fucking movie's about.
Yeah.
Without the context, you don't know. Very good. Mm-hmm. But you can go to ghostbeast.com for all our links. You can also search for Ghost Beast Pod and follow Ghost Beast on Letterboxd, where we rank everything we cover. All right. Got an idea. This is getting more and more arbitrary. Like, the more shit we add to this stupid fucking list.
It's only going to get bigger.
It's just our system is not working.
Whoa, I don't know what other system you would want.
It's impossible.
I don't know.
It's just, now I'll look and it'll be like, wait, that movie that's 20 places above this is definitely worse than this other. It's like, so.
Maybe we'll have to do like a check-in or something. Oh,
God, I dread that. Look, let's, here's where I got it. Above Hard Eyes and below Skinamarink.
I think I would put it above Skinamarink, even though I really enjoyed it, but I feel like I
would. Well, then we got Your Monster.
No, I think one more. Wait, what the hell?
That's what I'm saying. You can't look too far outside of like that little window.
Just move it up one.
Okay. Above Skinamarink, below Your Monster. Let's not look at anything else. It's number 47 on our list.
That's crazy.
Anyways, you can contact us at podcast@ghostbeast.com. What other 2025 movies have really impressed you so far? I want to make sure we're like staying ahead of this stuff.
Yeah. Also, please leave us a review. Rate us 5 stars if you enjoy. It really helps push us up in the algorithm so other people can find us.
Yep. Bye.